And welcome to The Extra, the show that connects you with the issues, topics, and people that are important to you. And today, here on The Extra, I am hosting my first in-person Extra interview. We have Greg Koopman, who's host of the show Senior Talk, right here on KRDO News Radio. It airs every weekend. He's joining us here in the studio. We have our protective measures up. We have the plexiglass protective barriers so that we're making sure that everyone stays safe and healthy. We should mention Senior Talk airs at 8 a.m. every Sunday. So some of what we talk about today may be issues that you've heard Greg discuss on his show every Sunday. But Greg, thanks so much for coming in.
Oh, Shannon, thanks for inviting me. It's always great to come in the studio here. And yes, we've got the plexiglass up. I feel like I'm about as safe as anybody can be. We got our masks and our distancing, and it's good to be here in the studio. I've been playing hooky with my show on the weekends, and we've been doing reruns for a little while. So it's good to be back in studio.
I know. We'll elbow bump
before
this is all over. We'll elbow bump because that's the thing. So Greg and I were just pretty intrigued talking about the subject that none of us really can ever avoid. We're talking about aging and how you do it and how you and your relatives can do it with dignity. And Greg is the owner of Heartfelt Care at Home, and some of the issues of aging that are impossible to avoid are what he confronts and discusses on his show every Sunday. And Greg, some of the issues, I mean, that you have dealt with over the years, I'm sure they come to the forefront when we're talking about aging and how to do it with dignity. And some of that involves providing care at home for people who are at that stage in life where they really do need that assistance. Is that some of the subject you talk about on your show, is when to know when is the right time?
Absolutely. That's the fun part about Senior Talk. You know, it was kind of this harebrained idea we came up with collectively. I remember coming here to KRDO 9 years ago now. So, I mean, I always joke. I say, we're the longest running, most listened to Senior Talk radio program in Colorado. And then, you know, KRDO puts me in check and they say, well, you're also the only. But
hey,
so that's okay.
It's good, but bragging, you know, rights. Yeah. Maybe even nationwide. Who knows?
Who knows? But, you know, the format is simple. So I host, and what I avoid doing is making it about me and my company, even though we do kind of intertwine home care periodically. But the focus of the show is we bring on a new guest every week with a different specialty as it relates to seniors. So we've had the CEOs of the hospital systems in, we've had home health, we've had hospice and physical therapy and driving, we've had the political side of it, and our state representatives. So we've done a lot of different topics, but really to approach and educate and be that resource on how can we inform the community about these different services that are out there, these different resources that are out there, because a lot of people don't know it. Not only is El Paso County one of, if not the fastest growing population of seniors in the entire country, right here in El Paso County, we're actually one of the most well-equipped communities, and the resources are vast here in our community to really make aging in place a reality for most people.
And when you say resources, what kind of resources are we talking about that help people as they're navigating that aging divide that we're all going to face at some point or another?
Right. So we've got great community resources. And by that, I mean, you know, we've got Silver Key. We got the Pikes Peak Area Agency on Aging that actually has a family caregiver support center designed to help family caregivers navigate caring for their loved ones, which is a phenomenal and probably underutilized resource here in the community. Age-friendly. I know Colorado Springs, the entity, the city, got on board to make it a age-friendly community. So there's a lot of resources and nonprofits and groups behind the scenes to build that up, in addition to the private sector, right? The business side of caring for seniors and providing services for seniors. So I always say aging in place, which is, you know, the goal. We all want to remain independent in our home for as long as possible. Aging in place is more possible now than ever before. If you can dream it up, it can be brought into the home. You have mobile dentists that can come into the home, mobile urgent care. So you don't have to go sit in, you know, an urgent care, especially, you know, now during COVID times. You've got home care, home health, physical therapy, driving, you know, evaluations, cognitive screening. If you can dream it up, pharmacies doctors are doing house call visits again. Pharmacies are delivering medications already set up in pill planters to the home. So really, we are more equipped now to thrive independently at home than we ever have been.
And yet, I have senior in-laws and senior relatives, and they are the ones who want to be so independent. They really have a hard time embracing anything that would bring that kind of help. It's like, you know, no, I'll go and wait in the waiting room that's crowded with all sorts of people because, you know, I don't want to be that person who is elevating my need above anyone else's.
As loved ones, we might look at it as them being stubborn, right? Mm-hmm. You know, they're just, you know, being mom, being dad, being grandma, being grandpa, and they're doing their own thing. Professionally, I always make it a little more PC. I say, you know, we're fiercely independent, right? But mm-hmm. That's exactly it. Is we don't look at it and we don't acknowledge, and aging is going to hit all of us. But we're all somewhat in denial of it. We don't want to realize that we're getting slower or weaker or not as mobile as we once were,
or more
forgetful,
vulnerable.
More vulnerable. Absolutely. And that's where that gap is, where proactivity is key, whether you're a family caring for a loved one or you're starting to recognize these changes for yourself. But being proactive, you have vast options and resources. When you aren't proactive and you wait for that, I always say that catalyst, that trigger moment where you have a fall, you break a hip, you end up in the hospital, your options start to shrink. And when you're acting on last minute crisis mode versus proactive planning mode, your options are very different.
Mm-hmm. Right. And those crises can then consume loved ones, family, and the elderly senior themselves,
yeah.
To the point where they can be more detrimental and cause cascading crises with, you know, perhaps having to sell a home, perhaps having to have another health emergency in the family. So definitely thinking about it ahead of time is probably, advanced planning is probably something that you talk about on your show, I'm guessing, a lot.
Absolutely.
Okay. We have to take a short break right now. When we come back, we're going to be talking to Greg Koopman, who's host of the show Senior Talk right here on KRDO News Radio, about how the pandemic has changed the fabric of his discussions in caring for seniors. That's coming up here on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. And welcome back to The Extra, the show that connects you with the issues, topics, and people that are important to you. I've been bending my guest Greg Koopman's ear throughout these commercial breaks because what he's talking about is something that in my own family we've dealt with, which is an aging relative who had a downward slide and ended up bypassing the opportunity to have care at home, which would have been a really, really good alternative now that we now look back in retrospect. And certainly a care at home is not the only option out there for seniors, but it's one of the options that we're going to discuss here. But also we want to discuss how the coronavirus has changed the fabric of how we discuss the issues and risks facing our seniors and our relatives. When you first were realizing that the first U.S. outbreak of coronavirus was at a nursing home, and nursing homes are by their nature concentrated groups of seniors who have health vulnerabilities, I guess, what were some of the first calls that you were fielding on this, and how has it changed over these past months, almost a year, actually?
Sure. So, I mean, it's changed everything. I think it's impacted everybody's, you know, life and work and family interactions, everything. But I remember vividly sitting at my kitchen table in the evening time watching the news of the first, cases of COVID in, I think it was Washington State. And then I remember about a week later, we saw it here in Colorado, and the first one came to Colorado. And from there, I realized that everything was going to start to change, and it changed rapidly from the volume and type of calls that we would get. But what we start to see over that initial period is fear. And the fear, as people are watching this thing, people start to hesitate on being proactive, right? So that proactivity we talked about in the first segment, where you want to be proactive on your care options to explore everything that's out there to really personalize it, people start to wait and hold off. And, well, you know, I'll wait to have my caregiver come in for a couple weeks to see how this thing plays out. A couple weeks turn into a couple months. And what we saw at that point is people started to clear out the hospital systems because we were hearing about these massive outbreaks that were going to happen. It was going to fill up our hospitals. So the hospitals started to empty out their beds, stopped, you know, taking on the elective procedures and things like that. The nursing facilities, the same. And what folks might not realize is healthcare is so very intertwined, where there's really a cycle of care, right? So you're independent, you're at home, especially for seniors. You're independent, you're at home. There's that catalyst event, that trigger, that fall, you break a hip, you get pneumonia, whatever, that results in you going to the hospital. You're in the hospital maybe a week, you get discharged to a nursing facility rehab, you get discharged home with home health, and physical therapy, occupational therapy, nursing, and then you get home care, kind of that ongoing long-term care in place. Every single facet of that healthcare cycle was fractured at that point.
Right, interrupted.
It was interrupted. It was exactly it. So we kind of went from busy to nothing. Then we started seeing the folks who put off care and delayed care, that fear component, to kind of wait and see what happens. Those folks, because they delayed care, ended up still having the falls, still having those trigger, you know, catalysts that actually probably could have been prevented, that resulted them going out of their home, which was the safest place for them to be, and into the healthcare system and cycle. So things got busy again from kind of that delay. But you know, we've heightened protocols and safety measures and, you know, screening and masks and all those fun things. But what folks don't realize is you're really the safest at home. People say we're home sweet home, safe at home. And like, that's exactly where you should be. And having an isolated senior at home receive care from a care professional who only serves isolated seniors at home, it's a lot more conducive to even having family members provide care sometimes.
Limited exposure.
Absolutely.
Limited exposure. And did you have families who might have had a loved one who was in a more concentrated care situation, whether it was assisted living or maybe even more, did you have them pulling those people out and saying, no, we want to care for this person in the safety and comfort of our own home, and hopefully limit the exposure and maybe needing at home care?
You know, Shannon, I've run home care agencies for 18 years, and for the first time ever, I did see that happening. We literally got calls from folks even locally here who were pulling their loved ones out of senior living communities, other states where they had mom and dad living in different states, and they were moving them here to Colorado in their homes and to receive that supplemental care, that personalized care where you need it from the home care piece. It was like a wildfire from that type of scenario. In addition to the folks who maybe were exploring senior living, said, you know what, absolutely, we're putting that on delay and we're going to get the care we need now, which is why they were looking at senior living to begin with. We're going to explore the other options that are out there, the home care piece, maybe partnered with home health or hospice or whatever the component to really meet those full needs.
We're going to be talking about in our next segment, we need to take a short break here, but we'll talk about with Greg Koopman, host of the show Senior Talk every Sunday here on KRDO News Radio. We're going to be talking about balancing the different aspects of what you should be considering. What are the facets of care that need to be considered, need to be pondered when you are looking to make a life change that might involve at-home care, that might involve a more intensive living situation? We want to talk about all of that because I'm guessing, Greg, you talk about these questions, they're easy to look at on paper, but emotion comes into it so much.
Emotion does come in, and everybody's different. And every dynamic or every scenario is different. There's family dynamics. There's guilt that comes along with it. There's so many different components where there's not a one-size-fits-all or a cookie-cutter answer. And that's where we really come to the forefront and specialize in being that resource. I mean, that's what it's all about, is just connecting the dots. Whether you use Heartfelt or not, or home care or not, I'm here to guide you in the right direction. And that's really the emphasis of Senior Talk, is to get you educating, get you pointed in the right direction, regardless of what it is.
Right. Okay. We'll be continuing the discussion here on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra, the show that connects you with people, issues, and topics that are important to you. And today's topic is one that we may not all be dealing with it right now, but we all will be dealing with it at some point. We're talking about aging with the host of Senior Talk, a show that airs right here on KRDO News Radio, Greg Koopman. He's also the owner of a company called Heartfelt Care at Home. And we were talking about, in your line of work, there have to be a lot of emergencies that go on all around the clock. But tell us, I guess, when someone is considering hiring a home health care aide, or whether they're considering, maybe the balance is going to assisted living or going to some sort of independent living, what are some of the considerations that people need to be factoring in?
Absolutely. So I say educate yourself and do it early on. There's no such thing as too soon to start looking at the resources. Aging will affect all of us. So be prepared, understand what's out there and what's available, because knowing your options when you hit that crisis moment is going to be very different than not knowing your options and now you're in that emergency mode. And I say there's a difference between unavoidable emergency and a preventable emergency, right? So a lot of this stuff can actually be proactive. And there's been studies done, even Harvard did one a few years back, on the use of home care as what they referred to as a strategic intervention. But using home care at critical points of time and places in a person's life and routine, using it as a intervention or a point, whether it be cooking meals or transportation or mobility assistance to make sure they don't fall when they're walking or getting in and out of the shower. Using it at these critical points as you start to identify those needs can oftentimes even prevent hospitalizations completely. Mm-hmm. And that's a very real thing for people to understand, is most of the things that we endure as seniors are preventable. So educate yourself, see who you're working with, guidance, right? So home care is just one of the things that I'm educated about, being in the business as long as I have, 18 years. But we always strive to be a community resource, right? We want to give that expert guidance. So if you're looking at exploring senior living options, give us a call. We'll help navigate you. I always say, I'm going to give you the honest to goodness truth, good, bad, the ugly, about any community out there, any company out there, what I've seen firsthand. Because I'm not here to sugarcoat it. I'm here to tell you what I've seen and what works and what doesn't, and help educate you. So if you're looking at senior living communities, if you need, someone, that you could trust for, an elder law attorney or wills or estate plans or mobile urgent care, you name it, we're here to connect the dots. And that's the important thing, is finding a resource, educating yourself, and then working with who you're comfortable with is really what it comes down to. I always joke with home care, there are 55 companies here in Colorado Springs licensed to do with what we do. And there's some great companies. We're not the only great company. There's some really good ones. And at the end of the day, they say, well, why should I go with Heartfelt over, this company or that company? I said, honestly, we're all licensed. We're all bonded, insured, background checked, reference checked, drug screened. We all have the same training requirements. We all have the same, background procedures. We all pretty much cost the same, within a few dollars an hour of each other. And in fact, it's not uncommon for healthcare professionals to work for multiple companies at any given time.
Yeah,
so you might actually have the exact same person helping you with my company as you would another company. And I say, well, if you got the same type of license, the same credentials, the same background, same cost, and the same exact person, what's the difference? And I say, that's what it comes down to, experience. And not just how long you've been doing it, but the experience and how you feel when you interact with a company from point A, when you first pick up that phone and ask questions and ask for guidance, to when we come out and meet with you, to when we provide care, to that very last day of service and interaction. So from point A to point C, how you experience care and getting assisted, that's what you should judge on. And mm-hmm. That's what I say, that's the only differentiator.
Mm-hmm. And is it, because you talked about finances, financially, as someone out there who might be listening, who's looking at A, aging in place with the help of a home health care aide, or B, moving to an assisted living. What are the cost differences that you're talking about there?
Oftentimes very comparable, and a lot of times even home care, again, using it at those strategic points, can oftentimes be much more affordable staying in the home. Now, of course, it's not, you know, right for everybody, whether it be finances, whether it be physical needs. And then once you get to that point of, you know, say needing around the clock 24-hour care, that's where you can start to see those costs add up. But a lot of times it can be much more affordable. The big thing people don't oftentimes realize with long-term care, and that's any long-term care, whether it's senior living or home care, Medicare insurance, they don't cover long-term care. Long-term care is a private pay expense. So whether you're spending, you know, a couple $100 a week or a couple $1,000 a month on home care, or whether you're spending $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 a month on an assisted living community, or $10,000, $13,000 on a skilled nursing facility, that's all out of pocket pay. There's a few programs that could help. Long-term care insurance helps.
I was wondering about that because everybody's offered it, but
everybody's offered it. A lot of people use it.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, the policies they sell these days are not the policies they sold 25, 30 years ago.
Okay.
I've seen awesome policies from 30 years ago where it's like, yeah, they don't even sell that anymore because they always planned on people not using it, and they never planned on people living as long as they
mm-hmm.
do.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not really a one-size-fits-all. But to explore the options, you know, the only barrier to staying at home typically, because anything you can dream up can be brought in, the only barrier really is financial. And the only option any of us have when it comes to long-term care expenses, one, they're inevitable. It's going to happen. As you age, you will have long-term care expenses. They are out of pocket. And our only option is exhaust the resources we have. Hopefully it'll get us everything we need to have the plan that we wish, whether it be staying at home or in senior living or retirement living. And once you exhaust those assets and those resources, your real only option is Medicaid at that point. And once you click over to Medicaid, your options become far limited.
I was going to say very
small
limited,
home
yeah.
care component to
sliver.
It.
Mm.
And then from the nursing side of things, unfortunately, it's a different realm than what you're doing if it was private pay.
Right, right. Or, and this would be at the lighter end when you're first, a lot of people turn to family, which brings with it its own tangle of emotions and financial encumbrance. And we're going to be talking about that when we return with Greg Koopman. He's host of the show here on KRDO News Radio that airs every Sunday at 8 a.m. called Senior Talk. So if you haven't had a chance to listen to the show, do try it out, and we'll continue our talk here on The Extra. Okay, we are continuing our talk here on The Extra about Senior Talk, a show that airs right here on KRDO News Radio every Sunday, and it's hosted by Greg Koopman, who's also the owner of a company that's an at-home care company called Heartfelt Care at Home. They specialize in 24-hour care for Alzheimer's and dementia care as well, hospice support, and much more. And we were talking about what financial assistance is out there for this kind of care and for any kind of care, and really knowing the financials. I think you're right. A lot of people head into their senior years thinking that, you know, their 70s and 80s, thinking that, well, someone's going to take care of me, or some program's going to take care of me. And a lot of programs out there are really not designed for that. Medicaid is designed for the worst of cases, correct?
Absolutely. And in Medicaid, you know, a great resource. I mean, and definitely once you hit that point where you don't have assets to access care, we have to have something there to help. And I think we're going to see great expansion with that over the years. There has to be. That's the only solution. The reason being, you know, I've spent a lot of years researching what I coin is the care gap. And that's the baby boom population, mm-hmm. right? And that's, you know, the folks who are currently in their 50, maybe, you know, 60, early 60s. Folks who historically, for whatever reason, may not be equipped with long-term care insurance, may not have a sizable savings. It's just a different philosophy on how they saved versus folks who might be in their 80s and 90s. And what we're seeing is huge growth in this care gap segment, where folks who are needing to access care don't qualify for Medicaid, but don't have the resources to pay for the care that they need now. So how do they get it? And that's mm-hmm. the thing. If you don't have the resources to pay for what you need and you don't qualify for the programs that are out there, what do you do? And that's a huge task and problem that we're seeing with the system right now on how to get folks the care they need without exhausting all their assets or expediting it and making sure what Medicaid does offer is enough.
Right, right. Because we're even in the midst of this pandemic, we're talking about long COVID and extended healthcare impacts or health impacts from someone who got COVID, maybe was in the hospital, was discharged, but is still dealing with the after effects, you know, and may need help, may need assistance as they continue on with this. We still don't really know how it's all going to end.
Oh, yeah. I mean, 5 years from now, who knows what we're going to be looking at? At the end of the day, whether it's a subsidy program like Medicaid that helps cover costs, Medicare, which we pay for, or private pay, anything we receive costs money. So you see that out there, you know, you're not going to have to pay for your COVID vaccine, right? Someone's still going to have to pay for it. And all of that does play a long-term role in our ability to access future care. Currently, last I checked, I think long-term care Medicaid expenses in the state of Colorado hovered right around 20 to 22% of the state's annual budget, right? So when you think almost a quarter out of every dollar the state's spending is for Medicaid currently, what are we going to do when our population, and it was about 5 years ago, the last data I saw showed that the state population of seniors was expected to almost double from about 900,000 to 1.6 million, right, by 2030, right? So 9 years from now, we're going, okay, if we're already spending that and our senior population who needs this care is coming rapidly, mm-hmm. how are we going to spend 50 cents out of every dollar? We can't. So where are the funds going to come from? And that, unfortunately, I spent some years on the political side of it, too. It's hard to move the needle forward in getting folks to talk about this. In fact, I remember elected officials told me, I said, okay, you know, we talk about resources, you know, financial programs, nutrition programs, transportation programs, all these great needed things. I said, but what we aren't really having conversations about is care. More so, how are we going to pay for care? And I remember slapping myself on the head when I was told, we're not having that conversation, Greg, because there's not a solution. Oh. And I'm going, okay, yeah. Well, I don't think we're ever going to get a solution unless we start that dialogue. So I've been pushing for that ever since.
Well, and having the discussion early and having the discussion in a realistic way is very important because, you know, there have been we have a dear family friend, and she was the one in a family of five that was apparently the designated caregiver. Don't know how she ended up with the designation. Not sure she, you know.
Sometimes it's by default.
Default.
Where, you know,
nobody
we're the
else
one who
is stepping
it.
Up, right? and did so, but took on so much of the burden. And you know, and if you don't have those conversations early. And then someone takes on the burden and then it becomes really too burdensome. Yep. And then by the time that you are looking into something like at-home care, family relationships are suffering by the time you get to that point.
Well, I want to highlight that, Shannon, family caregivers. A lot of times people are family caregivers and they don't acknowledge themselves as a family caregiver, whether it's a son or a daughter taking care of an aging parent or a spouse taking care of their loved one or even a neighbor taking care of their elderly loved one. A lot of folks don't identify themselves as family caregivers. And that's a huge step. And we are tremendously blessed here in the Colorado Springs community. Most regions across the United States have what they call area agencies on aging, which are regional groups to be resources for the aging population. Unique to ours, there's very few that I've seen across the country. Unique to ours is that Family Caregiver Resource Center, Family Caregiver Support Center. Kent Matthews is the gentleman currently running that, sweetheart of a guy. But what a phenomenal resource we have if you're in that family caregiving role to talk to someone who knows what you're going through. There's support groups, there's options, resources available. And one of the great things they have is what they call a family caregiver respite voucher, respite, to give that family caregiver a break. And a lot of home care agencies, I think there's 12 or 13 of us that partner with that program to be able to provide home care to give a little bit of a break. And that's not a lot, but like could be 12 hours to be used in a month. And the way I look at that is a 3-hour visit a week where you're not consumed by that family caregiving role. can be all the break someone needs, and it could be just that right thing. So I highly encourage anybody in a family caregiving role to give a reach out to our Area Agency on Aging Family Caregiver Support Center. Huge, huge benefit.
Right. And I think this may be a number that will get you to the number, but that number, want to give it out, 719-471-2096. That will get you to the Senior Information and Assistance Center for the Area Agency on Aging, 719-471-2096. And Greg, want to give out your phone number for your company. If people have questions, if you've been prompted by something that we discussed, or maybe you have a little area that is specific to you and your situation,
even
you want to discuss.
Even if you just need a guide. I mean, I'm here to get you pointed in the right direction.
That's fantastic. So Greg's number is 719-362-0094. It maybe won't be his direct number, but that'll get you to him. 719-362-0094. And Greg, you also have a website?
Yep, www.heartfeltcareathome.com. Locally owned home care agency here in town. One of many. Like I said, there's a handful of really, really good ones. So I'm not like a ruthless, cutthroat business guy. I partner and team well with competition, because we're here to serve the community. And what a phenomenal gift it has been. I mean, I grew up in senior care, and to be able to continue on that legacy of what I grew up around in providing home care here to our local seniors is just a true blessing.
Well, it certainly gets to the heart of what it means to be a family when you want to provide or want to work to make sure that your loved ones have that kind of care, or that you yourself have that kind of care and that kind of safety net. Your show coming up this Sunday, do you know what the topic will be?
I don't. So admittedly, I have been doing reruns through this COVID thing. So very few new ones. However, we do have a slate of new shows coming up. Starting here in the next month or two. So we're going to have some brand new guests, brand new topics. But go to the KRDO.com webpage, go to the radio section. It's going to take you to the podcast section, but I think Spotify also has it now. We've been doing this for 9 years here on KRDO, so there are a ton of shows backlogged on there covering pretty much any topic that you've probably been faced with as we age or as we care for an aging loved one. So I can't encourage that enough as well, because it's there, it's online, and it's there in perpetuity forever.
Fantastic. And we can all benefit from the information. I feel like we've shoehorned some of the information into this show, but it's certainly just scratching the surface, definitely. Greg Koopman, thank you so much for joining us here on The Extra.
Oh, it's been a pleasure, Shannon. Thank you.
And hope you listen to Senior Talk every Sunday at 8 a.m. I'm your host, Shannon Brinius, here on The Extra. We'll see you again Monday morning.